I typically stand up here and I say good morning, and everybody says good morning back. I got a call yesterday. That a kid that I grew up with hung himself. He took his own life. I haven't seen that kid very much. Probably last time I saw him was in May, and before that, I don't know, maybe when we were kids. And he told me the last time that we talked that he was proud of me because I was a preacher. And in that opportunity, that chance that I had to talk to him, I didn't use it because his friends were around and my friends were around. Now, he went to a Christian school. I don't know if he was saved. I don't know him that well. But an opportunity I let go right by the wayside. And I had planned out a sermon and I knew exactly what I was going to preach about yesterday. And I got home from my parents' camper and it just changed. And I just don't want to let this opportunity go by. This is a chance that I can tell you about my salvation. A chance that I can tell you about my Savior. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the opportunity and I'm going to run with it. So I asked y'all to pray for me that it goes out the way that it's supposed to. You have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 3.
The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compass me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. I went to church last week at Murfreesboro 2 weeks ago. And Brother Story talked about the five senses that we have, how we can use them for God and how we can communicate with God, because we can hear and we can see him and he can touch us. We can feel him, right? And he talked about those five senses. I love my Lord because I can feel him, because I can see him and I can hear him in my heart when he talks to me. But a person that's lost doesn't have those spiritual senses because they turn that away. They turn away from that. Turn away from their spiritual senses where they can grab a hold of him and cling to him and he can give them every answer. Lost person, I want you to grab a hold of God this morning. This morning. Because he has given you an opportunity to be here. There are so many things that you can grab a hold of, but if you grab a hold of God, you will never be alone. You will never be alone. He will walk with you step by step through your life if you grab a hold of him. While he passes by, there's a song that says, do not fear, pass me not. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. As he's walking by this morning, as he's walking right by you, the creator of the universe, have a hold of him. Reach out, and he'll carry you. He'll carry you. I'm going to play you a song. I'm going to play you a song that I wish that I could have played to Isaac. Y'all bear with me while I set this up. Y'all should be able to hear it. I already checked it.
Yes.
God will never forsake you. I promise. I can make you that very guarantee.
Yay!
But if you never call upon him, you'll never see him. If you never call upon him, you'll never hear him. And if you never call upon him, you will never feel him. You have to call upon God. He is your rock, as that verse says. He is your shield. He is your tower. He's your watchtower. He will look over your life and see everything that goes on and make sure that you're protected. If you call upon him, you have to do your small little part as a lost person and call out to him with everything that you have, and he'll answer. He'll be right there. He sees everything. He's looking down on you right now saying, why are you not calling upon my name? If you say you believe in me, why don't you believe it in your heart? Believe that God is real, because he is, because I can feel him, I can see him, I can hear him. I know that he's there. I know that he's there. There is nothing that anybody can tell me that's going to convince me otherwise, because I've got proof. I've got proof. Can I show it to you and hold it right here? No. But I can tell you about it. And I can tell you about it for a really long time if you want me to. There's a person. There is a person that will be there for you every second of your life if you call upon him. There will be a person that will answer every question that you have running through your mind right now if you just call upon him. And that opportunity that I had to talk to Isaac, that was his name. That moment that I had to talk to Isaac, if I would have taken that opportunity, I would have either A, found out that he was saved, or B, found out that he wasn't and tried to talk to him. If I would have taken that opportunity, I would have got a little bit more confirmation one direction or the other. So as a lost person, if you take this opportunity that you've been given, you can have a little bit more confirmation one direction or the other. You can get full satisfaction in your heart, into your soul, if you call upon him. That's the greatest thing. That is the greatest thing, is that even though you can't see him, he's here. And even though you can't feel him right now, I can, and I can tell you that he's real. And he loves you. And he loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you. And it never ends. His love is perfect. His love is kind. And he's going to carry you through everything. In this moment where it feels like everybody's looking at you, in this moment when it feels like everybody in this room knows that you're lost, the one person that truly does is God. And he can see into your heart, and he can see into your soul, and you can say, you know what? You know what? Nobody can see it. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to bottle it up just a little bit longer. I'm going to bottle up this pain just a little bit longer. You think that's maybe what Isaac did? He took that pain and he bottled it up just a little bit longer. And he bottled it up just a little bit longer, and he kept holding on to it. It didn't get him real far. Now, I love Isaac, and I'm not trying to pick on him by any means. But that didn't get him very far. So you can sit here, and you can put on this disguise, and you can put on this mask and say, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. But the longer you push it off, the further you push God away, the tougher your life will become. The younger you are, the easier it is, because the less involved in the world you are. You may think that you know it all, but I promise you, you don't, because I don't. God wants to save every person that he creates. God has not put anybody on this world to live and die without being saved. There is no reason he would do that, because he loves us. There are people that think that it's predetermined who will be saved and who will not be saved. No, I think God knows who will be and who won't, and who will call upon him and who won't. But it's not predetermined. Everybody has a choice. Everybody's given an opportunity to call upon him and to seek him. You don't have to. You don't. I will tell you that right now. You do not have to call upon God this morning. You don't ever have to call upon him. You don't have to. I can't force you. Your parents can't force you. Your wife, your husband, whoever it may be, they can't force you.
you have to make that decision because God gives you the ability to make that decision for yourself. And if you choose to, I promise you, just like that song says, you will never be alone. You will never be alone for the rest of your life. Brother Burke was 7 years old when he got saved. He was 7 years old. Brother Burke, God's still walking with you?
Still there.
Still there. Still there. Mama, is God still walking with you? God's still walking with you. Mom, Dad, God's still walking with you. Brother Chad, God's still walking with you?
Yes, sir.
Janet? Still there. He's still there. Because this is his world. You're just walking in it. And that's what we seem to forget so often, is that this is God's world. This is not our world. We can choose to make whatever decision we want to and try to make it about us. But it's not. It is not about us. I say a lot of times that I love my job being a preacher. I love my job. This morning, I don't love my job. I don't. I had to sit up there and just wait and wait and wait and wait. Because I had to get that off my chest and tell y'all about one of my buddies that I grew up with that hung himself. But this is the part that I love, is that I can sit here and tell you without a doubt in my mind that I've got something that nobody can take away from me. That I've got something that nobody can grab hold of and wrench from me. There's nothing that anybody can do to bring me down. Because God's the only person that ever brought me to the lowest point that I could possibly be at. And as soon as he brought me to the lowest point, he shot me up to the skies. I was on top of the world. I was on top of his world. Because he allowed me to be. Because he allowed me to be. Let's turn over to another verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. We're actually going to turn to a different one. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as I was studying, I read this in a different translation. I read it in the ESV, and it threw the word free gift into that verse. And that's what it is. It is a free gift, salvation. Eternal life is a free gift that nobody can take from you, and nobody can give to you. You hear that saying? That nothing's ever free in life. Nothing's free. Somebody had to pay for it. Jesus had to pay for it. And he did. And he walked just like you are right now. Except he never made a mistake. Except he never made a mistake. He walked on God's world. He walked on his earth. To live and die. For his life. And all you have to do to see him, the only thing you have to do is feel him. And to be able to hear him is take that pride and push it behind you. Because you can sit there with your arms crossed and act like you're angry and act like you don't want to be here. And you can do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and it will get you a straight ticket to hell. I promise. There's another promise I can make. Sounds pretty mean, don't it? Sounds pretty mean, don't it? But it's the truth. And that's the point, man, is that everything that it says right here is true. And it's honest and it's real. And you can believe it. You can believe it. I promise. Call upon it every second of your life until you find it. Call upon it every millisecond until you find it. You hear a lot of times people say, I hope that a lost person can't eat, that they can't drink, that they can't sleep until they find God, or until they find him close to their heart, until they realize that he is their personal Savior. That's what I hope for every person that's lost here this morning, is that you cannot eat, drink, sleep until you get that. because life can be so difficult sometimes. And it can be so hard, and you can feel like the world is weighing you down. The world is weighing you down. And it can become heavier and heavier, second by second. But if you're saved, if you're walking this earth as a saved individual, it is so much easier. It is so much more peaceful. Trust me. Trust me. I've been there. 10 years old, I got saved at Delray Meeting. 10 years old. And truly, I've never had another problem since. I may have had things that came in my life and hurt my feelings a little bit or weighed me down. But you know what? At any one of those times, if I turn that over to God, He will take care of everything. Every little thing. But when you're lost, you feel like you're the only one. You feel like you're the only one that can help yourself. You feel like you're the only one that can see your heart. The only one that can give you an answer. All you have to rely on is yourself. Because nobody understands. I can tell you that anybody that's ever been truly saved, understands the point that you're in right now. And if you are lost and you realize you are lost, that is the best place that you can be without being saved. Because you understand your heart's condition. If you are lost and you are not feeling that conviction, if you're lost and you don't know what you're supposed to do, that is an extremely scary point to be at. Because you don't know where God is. You don't know why He isn't talking to you anymore. Maybe it's because you neglected Him and turned Him away so many times. Call upon Him this morning. Take the opportunity because it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Do not worry about what everybody else in this building thinks of you. That was such a problem for me. Is that I worried so much about what people thought of me, and I still do. I still worry about what people think about me. And people would say, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Nobody's going to look at you any different. And I would think in my head, well, that's easy for you to say. You're saved. But I promise you, I can guarantee you nobody in this building will look at you any different if you call upon Him. But I can almost make this promise that if you turn Him away, you turn God away and you don't call upon Him, you're probably going to get looked at a little bit differently. Because we want you to be saved. We have a desire to see you saved. I have a desire to see you saved. I can't do it. I can't save you. But I want to see it happen. I want to witness it. Because that is a beautiful thing. That is the most beautiful thing besides my own personal salvation, is seeing somebody else get theirs. Enjoying that gift just a little bit with them. Just a little bit. Because I know that I'll have another brother or another sister in heaven. Another person to see next to me when we're up there going through the gates. Because that's a real place. That is a real place. It's not just fairy tale. It's not just something that somebody wrote down in a book and said, all right, let's put this and get this published. No, this is a real thing that God inspired every single word. Every single comma, every period, it was inspired by God. Trust Him. Trust the words that are spoken today. They're not my words. I promise you that. This is not me that's standing here telling you to do something. I'm just trying to be a mouthpiece. I'm just trying to be a little bit of a mouthpiece. So take the chance. Take the opportunity. I'm going to close with saying this. I had a goal when I was a kid. Most of y'all heard about my goal. It's pretty funny. I laugh most of the time. Is that I was going to go around every single denomination, every religion, every single one, until I covered all of them. Because at that point, I wouldn't have to worry anymore. I would know that eventually I hit one that was right. Whether it be Church of Christ, whether it be, you know, Muslims, whatever it may be, any type of denomination. we make every single decision perfectly?
No.
Is everything that we do inside these four walls perfect?
No.
But is the salvation that we talk about perfect?
Yes.
Amen. It is perfect. Because it is God's salvation. It is His salvation. And it is a free gift. I got it right on my first try. I didn't have to go on and go to all those different religions to try to get it fixed. I got it right. The old-fashioned way. Not the easy way. I'm not telling you it's easy. You may cry a lot of tears. You may have a lot of sleepless nights. But once you get it right, I promise you it's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. Take the opportunity. Don't allow everything to just bottle up. Because that's not going to do you any good. It will not. It's not going to do anything for you. Plain and simple. Salvation is a free gift. God has set it on a table. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. All you have to do is reach out and grab it. For the bird, for the bird, have a song.
Mark, before we do this, I'm not through playing the piano. I want us to play the piano and I want us to sing another song while I play. You know, when I was about 12 or 13, Mama told me, well, if I'll scrape together enough money, I'll give you piano lessons, but you got to promise me that you'll play in church. Well, I wanted to take piano lessons, so I was willing to promise her anything she wanted. But you know, I can't play Beethoven, and I can't play Elton John or Yanni or any of this thing. But gospel music's always came easy to me. And I love playing gospel music, and I love playing in church because I get such a blessing for it. I love playing at the third and third night singings. I love playing. I feel it. I feel the music. And I tell other people, young people that are playing, and we need some to come along because Janet's young enough and I'm getting old. And we need some young piano players, and I tell them to feel the music. God will bless you. You will feel it. I feel it in my heart when I play. And I want to play some more. I'm not through. So we can play Amazing Grace, or we can play He Touched Me, but I want to play some more.
Everybody stand.
Yeah.
Somebody touched me. It was on a Friday. happy because of that. That's my job. That's my job. Before we dismiss, does anybody have a word, a testimony, a final heart, anything at all?
Oh, I said it's been good for you.
Amen.
It's always good when you feel Jesus in your presence.
That's right.
It's a good day when the Lord's been here with us. When he makes with us, it's a blessed day.
Amen.
Dylan, do you feel like singing the old left?
Somebody pushed me and it was on the
floor. I'm kind of homesick.
About my kids aren't listening and they're in here for no reason. Now they're in here for a reason. They're in here for a reason. They pay attention a lot more than what we probably think they do. He's also learned how to direct. Anybody else?
It's been such a blessing to be here today. I don't get to come very often on Sundays since I work. And I'm just so glad to have been here today. This has been an awesome service. Thank you.
I'm very glad that you got to be here. Glad that we have everybody here, members included, and also the visitors who have to come back and join us anytime. Anytime that you have an opportunity, come and be with us. We love you. We probably don't tell you enough when you come through the door how much you care about you, but you mean a lot. You mean a lot to us. You really do. Anybody else? I know we'll have food downstairs. So, all visitors that can, all members that can, stay. Eat with us. We're going to have good fellowship, good food. It was good yesterday. I'm sure it was a good day.
Brother Dylan was talking about children. My sister had a little great-grandson, 6 years old. And he goes to a Christian school. I don't know what they teach. But he put a note in the casket with his great-grandmother. And he said, tell God hi. I will see you later.
Amen.
I love you. Saturday's night. And his niece said that the night before the funeral, he asked her if he would see like me my wife tomorrow, which is the funeral. And she told him no, but they talked about things that they believed. Children do learn. And I would ask the church to pray. I have so many little great nieces and nephews. Some of them are taken to church, but it may not be the right kind. Some of them have not been taken to church at all. I help a big family. But I love children, and I want to see them saved. So y'all pray for all of them.
And you consider what the Lord might move on your heart. and if he moves your heart to be a member of this church, we just ask you to come forward and hear what you have to say. We're going to ask everybody to tell their experience. When you join the church, that's what John Davis did, and maybe he's been doing it ever since. And if God moves your heart, that's an important thing. If he's moving you, then you come, and we'll hear what you have to say, and the church can take action on receiving.
Let's all stand, turn to page 151, sing the first and last part.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. Using on every
discuss that, and we just let the Lord do his own time. I'm going to ask Linda at this time to share with you what the Lord's done for her desire to be with this church.
As Dean said, we certainly didn't know that we were going to be doing this today. We hadn't discussed it, we hadn't talked about it. But I've just been filled up all day.
Years old, I'm a bit taller than her, she's short-faced. I didn't say anything. I just stood there, had my hands on the back of the bench. She continued to talk, and I don't much remember what she said, but I kind of looked up and saw my mother coming out of that women corner and getting back to the corner. And I knew that I couldn't hold up under my mom's question. And so just before mother got to me, I just stepped out and headed to the altar. And I went every service after that to revival in several services in the coming year. From the Robert Prayer Group started Faith Church here. This was after he left Faith and he was pastoring West End and Galveston and Halftime and King of Mount David Halftime. But he had preached on Sunday night and Monday night with Howard Taylor, so he had this meeting. He was held into another meeting. He was going over and having all the time for him to preach both nights. And he preached, and I don't remember what he preached. My fault, he was preaching. He preached, stepped out of the pulpit, came down into the altar area. So how long is he here? He said, I think we need to have special prayers. I was used to when they had special prayers, they invite people to come to the altar. He didn't do that. He just dropped on his knees and started praying. Other people started praying with him. And I was told later that some people anyway said they thought this was a pretty prayer they were praying. I said, I don't know if I wasn't listening to it. Because all of a sudden, and I tell this a lot of times, I've always taught a young boy to always carry a handkerchief. Might not need it yourself, might need to let somebody else have it. But when I was going to the altar, I didn't have that handkerchief out. And I was already sitting there with my hands opened up, ready to go to the altar so I could put it up here. Over my eyes. And I was sitting there and I thought he's not going to give an altar call. He had said a thing about sinners coming to the altar. And for the first time, I didn't think I had another tomorrow. I couldn't see the next day coming back to service. Couldn't see the next night, or the day of night services. All of a sudden, hell was so real before me. Not in a vision, not anything other than I just knew I was a breath away. And sitting there in that seat, 4 seats back on the inside of the tower, I just sit there with my head in heaven. It's like when I didn't say any words. I couldn't tell you words I said, but from my heart, I cried out to God, I needed him. And he took that burden away and gave me peace. I'm not going off the details of four people that testified after that prayer, before I could have told them I'd gotten saved. I got a joy that night that's always been available to me. I always used it like a shooting. Good times in my life with that joy too far away. But salvation brought a new joy back. And then there's been lots of that easily. Joy just flows. As it has today. It has sweetness to the Bible. I'm thankful that I have assurance that I'm going to be in heaven. Rob Gregory baptized me 2 weeks later at Mount Taylor Missionary Baptist Church in Smith County, Tennessee. And moved my membership later to Henderson, the daughter of called to preach. I was ordained there before the ministry. And in the previous six churches I pastored, I've always moved my membership there. And I just felt like that. Some preachers don't do that. I always felt like that's what I should do. And again, I leave it up to the Lord to tell me when. And really hadn't thought that much about it this morning until he was having a handshake. And it just struck me. I need to go ahead and join to that. That promise of the Bible. My membership's Buffalo Springs Missionary Baptist Church. We joined there just a little over a year ago, but after my last pastorate, we visited around in many places. is it for the Lord? Let us set it down. We hadn't talked about that. We said, you know, let them say, well, I might first have just a home church. So, you know, we still members were our last pastor, but we were kind of floating around. The Lord placed us there, and I can look back and see why. Because he really gave us blessings being there. He ever saw what you did do some things there, we might not have done it as pastor. And prepared him for the next step. So I desire to have my membership move from Buffalo Springs critical level to the church. But Kimmy, I'm gonna let you take hold on.
The church you've heard his testimony, his desire to join his church by critical level. What's a little church?
My love to me. That saying, all right, I'm afraid you'd be one of the letters.
Motion second. All rights privileges from the letter received, read, and approved by our church. Anyone want to speak to the motion? All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? Motion carried. Motion. We're proud of having you. Let's all stand. Come around and give them a handshake. Number 51.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No tear near thy.
One thing I wanted to tell you is that you said you're not used to us and we're not used to you. involved in the Christmas program in the past, it's a great time to do it, so come. We have just a little meeting that's going to be after church next Sunday morning, and it won't take too long, and this year we're not anticipating a lot of practices. We're excited to say this will be more on a musical year for us. I'd like to share the glory of Jesus' birth in song. So we're going to need singers. Sister Linda, I don't know if you know, but every third Tuesday of the month we have ladies' fellowship here, and we have a different speaker from many different churches. We've just been so blessed. I think last month we had 7 different churches represented here. Well, this coming month I'm going to have to speak, and I'm not really excited about it. I don't like to speak because everybody here hears me all the time. Mamaw's perfect for you. I said something to her in the car one time. She said, "When did that happen?" I said, "I announced it last Sunday in church." She goes, "You're always talking. I didn't hear you." So I know y'all block me out, and everybody in here is probably going, "She's going to shut up in just a minute." But let me tell you something. I stand up whenever the Lord tells me to stand up. So right now, He wants me to speak to a group of women. And He wants me to talk about marriage and children. And marriages are suffering. And I've been blessed with a great one. But I cannot do anything without the Lord's help. And I need to ask y'all to pray for me. That it won't be what I want to say. It'll be what the Lord wants me to say. And I would greatly appreciate that.
Remember her. Anyone else? Any other announcements or anything before we do this?
We won't have services tonight.
For services tonight. We can have service at home. All hearts are clear. You'll stand just a minute before I can go to this meeting. You pray this message. You pray this message.
Can I sustain one wonderful service? Bless us all, bless us. You know, we're about to have dinner and look forward to bringing everybody back dinner again.
Oh, dinner.